Please open your Bibles to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you undoubtedly feel the friction of sin on a regular basis. But the question is, how do you respond when that's a reality? How do you respond when you're falling into worldly lust and temptation? What's your disposition when you've sinned in ways that expose your weakness and remind you of what you're actually capable of if left to yourself? How do you respond? Let's dive into Psalm 32 and see what a proper response looks like and where we can find comfort. Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom Yahweh counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Selah. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh." And watch this. "And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah. In this passage, we find David, the king of Israel, staring sin in the face, and look at how he deals with it. First, he reminds himself of what's true. He starts by declaring that there's a certain type of person whose life consists of transgressions, sins, and iniquities. David is pointing to the utter depravity of this type of individual and uses three terms that cover the whole spectrum of sin, from blatant rebellion to moral failure, all the way to perversion. But this passage also says that this person is blessed. How can this type of person be blessed when they were just described as the type of person who is the exact opposite of who God is? Well, this person is blessed because their transgression is forgiven, their sin is covered, and their iniquity has been acquitted or released as if they were innocent. These terms can all be summed up in one word: pardoned. David is acknowledging that God has pardoned this type of person from the consequence of the very things that deserve his just condemnation. Secondly, because this is the type of person God is pardoning, David moves from silence about his sin in verses 3 and 4 to personal confession in verse 5. Notice that David takes ownership of the very sins which he spoke of in verse 1 and 2. David acknowledges his sin, he uncovers his iniquity, and he confesses his transgression. Because of God's willingness to extend his blessed forgiveness to those who confess their sins, David is seemingly quick to acknowledge and own these very sins as his own. It's almost as if he's saying, "God, since you're in the business of forgiving sins, here, take mine." Look at God's response in verse 5, though. David says that Yahweh forgave the iniquity of his sin. God forgives the rebellion of David's wickedness. He uses these two words on top of one another to emphasize the depth of his wickedness, which immediately heightens the forgiveness which is being extended to him. Isn't it amazing that God is willing to forgive and pardon the utmost of sinners? This is what it looks like for us to make the proper response. This is what genuine repentance looks like. It's turning away from sin and to God. We've got to remind ourselves of what's true, confess our sins, and find comfort in what God has done. It gets better, though. It gets better because we're in a better place than David was in. It's clear that David is trusting God for his sins to be forgiven, but the intricacies of how that's going to happen, David doesn't understand. Because God doesn't just sweep anyone's sins under the rug, forgiveness has to come by a certain means. What is the means by which we are forgiven? Think about that. What's the means by which we are forgiven? In Romans 4, Paul tells us the vehicle of what forgiveness is and actually quotes the first two verses of this psalm in the process. In Romans 4, verse 5, he says, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteousness apart from works. And then he quotes Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Paul says that the forgiveness which David speaks of comes through faith in Jesus. It's Jesus' righteousness that is accredited to believing sinners in order to reconcile their relationship with the holy and just God. Therefore, Jesus is the means by which believers can, by faith, come before God, confess their sins, and as a result, find forgiveness. So if that's you, then and you can confidently say, I have a plethora of sins, and I desire to bring them before God, who is eager to bless those with the forgiveness that only he can give, then joyfully take communion this morning and rejoice in the good news found in the gospel. If you're a believer in that sin that you're clinging to, confess it. Confess it and find joy in the reality that through Jesus you're actually forgiven. And if you're someone who isn't willing to repent and confess your sins, then we ask that when the bread and the juice come to you, that you just let them pass. So men, will you please come serve us and take communion on your own, your heart's ready.